Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. In a few moments, I'll be bringing you a report on Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral journey to France. An interview with the Archbishop of Évry, Corbeil-Essonne, Michel Dubost, about the very French concept of laïcité. A conversation with an English priest awaiting Pope Benedict at the Marian Shrine of Lourdes. And episode 3 in Gilles Bevilacqua's radio drama, The Bernadette Story. Benedict XVI arrived in France on Friday morning on his first visit as Pope to this nation, on a prolonged weekend which takes him first to Paris and then to the Marian Shrine at Lourdes on the occasion of the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady there. In the morning, the Holy Father went to the Élysée Palace, where he was received by French President Nicolas Sarkozy and the civil authorities. To them, he spoke of the Christian roots of French culture, the civilizing role of the Church in past centuries, and the positive contribution it can play today, going straight to the heart of the laïcité, or the separation between political and religious life. Later on in the afternoon, Pope Benedict had a very full program. He celebrated Vespers in the Cathedral of Notre Dame, met with leaders of other faiths and Christian traditions, gave a keynote address to the world of culture at the prestigious Collège des Bernardins, an architectural jewel that was recently restored with the aim of serving as a centre of dialogue between Christian thought and contemporary society. As Philippa Hitchin, who's travelling with the Pope, reports, his presence there was seen as one of the highlights of this visit to Paris. And this great connoisseur of French culture and theology delivered a keenly awaited speech. Let's listen.
Herr Professor was the headline of an article in the French daily Le Monde on the eve of the Pope's arrival in France, an article which delved deeply into the intellectual and historical development of the man widely acknowledged as one of the world's greatest contemporary theologians and teachers of the faith. With his profound knowledge of French culture and theology, Professor Ratzinger is well respected here in France, a fact borne out by the impressive lineup at the Collège des Bernardins of past and present government leaders, artists and academics, representatives of UNESCO, and leaders of France's Muslim communities. And the Pope lived up to their expectations. In his address, he spoke at length about the great monastic tradition that played such a vital role in the development of Western theology and the spread of Europe's Christian culture. The primary goal of those first monks, he noted, was simply to search for God and, amid the upheavals of the times, to discover some lasting truth about life itself. In this search, they were guided by the Word of God.
Et cette voix était sa parole, qui dans les livres des Saintes Écritures était offerte.
The scriptures, which helped them both discern the truth and educate others, developing what the Pope described as the pilgrim fellowship of faith.
La communauté de tous ceux qui cheminent dans la foi.
God's word, he said, comes to us through the human word and through the context of the community in which it is lived. Revealing his passion for the ancient sung liturgies, the Pope also spoke of the great tradition of Western music. Not a form of private creativity, he said, but a way of recognizing, with the ears of the heart, the inner laws of the music of creation. Reflecting on the Benedictine tradition of prayer and work as the two pillars of monastic life, Pope Benedict talked of God the Creator, who also enters personally through his Son into the laborious work of human history. And finally, the Pope stressed the importance of proclaiming the truth of God's word to others, an obligation which is just as essential today as it was in the days of the first Christians like St. Paul and those who have handed on the faith down the centuries. From this prestigious cultural centre, the Pope then moved on to the great Notre Dame Cathedral, one of the finest examples of French Gothic architecture, with its lofty arches and luminous rose windows. There he celebrated Vespers together with priests, religious, seminarians, and the bishops from the Paris region. Not to mention several thousand young Catholics gathered on the grass outside the cathedral on the banks of the River Seine. After the scholarly atmosphere of the Collège des Bernardins and the prayerful service in Notre Dame, the Pope seemed delighted to acknowledge the spontaneity and enthusiasm of those young people whom he greeted after the celebration of Vespers. As they prepared for an all-night prayer vigil, he told them to seek the truth of Christ and the love of the Spirit, to become courageous witnesses to the good news of their Christian faith. In France, with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Philippa also managed to speak to the Archbishop of Évry-Corbeil-Essonne, Michel Dubost, in an effort to find out more about this so-called eldest daughter of the Catholic Church and the debate regarding the much-bandied issue of laïcité, the separation between church and state, which, as Philippa found out, refers as much these days to Islam as to Christianity.
I say first that it's the first visit of the Pope Benedict, but Cardinal Ratzinger was a man who came very often in France and is a member of our academy. And that means a lot of links, and we are not welcoming only the Pope Benedict, but we are welcoming the man with, we have a lot of intellectual links, and that is very important. Second, you know, laïcité is a French word. It's quite difficult to translate in English. But it's not now used for the link between state and church. We use it, but the most important topic is not how between the state and the church, but between the society and the Muslims. And very often, what is said about laïcité is not said about Catholics, but about Islam. And that makes a lot of difference.
You talk about the growing presence of Muslim immigrants today. They're particularly found in your diocese, aren't they, around Paris there?
Yes, there is, you know, we are in my diocese, there is 1,200,000 people, and about 100,000 are coming from countries with a Muslim culture. So we are linked with a lot of Muslims here.
How would you evaluate the dialogue? How would you describe the church's effort, perhaps, to try and ease these tensions and improve these relations between Islam and French society today?
You know, there is no real tension between Catholics and Muslims. There is no real tension between the society, the former society and the new society, if I may say so. But there are tensions with Islamists that are a very small minority amongst the Muslims people. And this tension is not only between Catholics or the society and the Islamic, but even between the Muslim people and the Islamic people. You know, in my diocese, about only 10% are of the people coming from a Muslim background are mosque-goers, and most of them are very good friends and very good citizens and want to be good citizens, but there is a minority that try to find an identity against the church or against the society. But it's a small minority. And some Muslims, we have got, you know, real research of the truth, and we try to pray by the others and to explain to the others what we are doing when we try to pray.
What would you describe as the other main challenges facing the church, particularly in your area today?
Well, I think the main challenge is the secularism. Another problem is the difference of culture. One third of the birth here are black, and people are coming from different countries with different culture. And it's wonderful to see the cathedral where 70 or 75% of the population is black or coming from Asia. But it's not easy, and it's a great challenge. And the challenge needs a lot of strength. And it's not so easy because people are always on the move. You know, every 7 years, one half of the department of the diocese is changing. People are going away and new people are coming. And we have to restart every time, every day. That's a difficulty.
What are you personally hoping from this papal visit?
Oh, you know, when you are waiting for a pope, you are waiting to be strengthened in your faith. And I'm waiting for that. And, you know, sometimes the Pope will also tell us that is not a good way to do it. And I think we are always ready to listen to the Pope. We have got some advice to say. But there is one thing more here. To see the Pope is to see the man who is the symbol, the sign, I would dare say the sacrament of the unity of mankind, of humanity. And it is very important here to welcome the man who tells us by his own presence that we are walking to unity of the world. And I welcome him as the sign of the Catholicity of the Church. And here it's a very important matter. And third, but that's a very small thing. You know that Cardinal Ratzinger did like my diocese, because the founder of the Diocese of Munich, Freising, was coming from our diocese, St. Corbinian, and the beer that is on the motto of the Pope is coming from my diocese. So it's also a little bit like a feast of St. Corbinian to see him not very far from here. We had last Saturday and Sunday Monsignor Marx, Bishop Marx from Munich, and we prepare ourselves with him to the visit of the Pope.
Thank you there to the Archbishop of Évry, Corbeil-Essonne, Michel Dubost, speaking there to Philippa Hitchin. Meanwhile, moving on in the broadcast, on Saturday afternoon, when Pope Benedict arrives at the Marian Shrine of Lourdes, respecting his very own September habit of going on Marian pilgrimages, one begun in Bavaria, his homeland, in 2006, and continued last year in Austria, he'll be greeted by one of the people who happened to be in Lourdes that very first time Pope John Paul II went there in 1983. Philippa Hitchin sat down with him, collecting his testimony.
My name is Father Michael McAndrew. I'm the Director of Adult Formation in the Diocese of Clifton, and I'm just here on pilgrimage especially because the Pope's here.
This isn't your first time, though, is it?
No, I used to come as a young priest with the Handicapped Children's Pilgrimage Trust, and I came a few times with the Across Jumbulance. But I haven't been here for 15 or 16 years now, but I did come in 83 when Pope John Paul II came on his first visit to Lourdes.
What do you remember of that visit? What was most striking on that occasion?
Most striking about that was to see Pope John Paul there in the grotto, leading us in the rosary, leading us in the prayer to Our Lady. And I was most struck by those two great symbols of the Catholic faith, of the successor of Peter himself, really, for us, and Mary there, gathered around Christ and leading us, drawing us towards Christ. Mm. That's what struck me most then, and that's why I wanted to be here this time.
You were just a young man. You were about to be ordained a priest, weren't you?
Yes, I'd just been ordained a deacon, and it was a year before I was ordained a priest. So that visit then, I think, confirmed me in my Catholic faith, that whole experience of pilgrimage here in Lourdes. You know, it takes us back to the roots of the Church. I think when the apostles were waiting in fear before the Holy Spirit came, and they were there, Mary was with them, and so was Peter. And it seemed to me they are the great symbols of hope for the church. It seems to me Peter is the rock of hope. He is the foundation of faith, and Mary is the woman of hope who directs us to the promises of the Lord. So those two figures, I'm not sure if that's what a young person would want to hear, but what we're looking for in the world is hope, hope for the future, hope for the present. And it seems to me they direct us towards the promises of Christ, to direct us to what he has promised us for our present world and for the world to come. And directing us towards the promises of Christ.
Certainly Lourdes and the presence of Mary here has a great appeal for young people. I mean, at first sight, one would say perhaps Lourdes is a place for the elderly, for the sick in particular, but it has a very particular appeal for young Christians, doesn't it?
I think it does, and I think that's because it's so clear in what it's trying to say, that to follow Christ is to be of service to other people, and that's unavoidable almost here, I think. You know, to be of service to one another, to put those who are in need first. I think that's what's very appealing to people. It makes the gospel, I think, very practical and very real to young people.
Going back to your days when you came with the sick, particularly the sick children, perhaps, tell us a bit about that experience for you.
I think that's my first few times here was with the children. I think we were organised into groups of 20 or 24, and so that focuses that experience of being a group together with our attention on the needs of children, handicapped children, disabled children, focuses also, I think, on the idea of service again, I think, and what the church is really about. It's not about what sometimes it appears from the outside. The church is really about service of one another, love, prayer. It focuses our attention completely on those things. I think sometimes when people see the church from the outside, they see large buildings and pomp and ceremony, but the experience from the inside, the church feels like something else. And I think a pilgrimage to Lourdes with the children serving one another focuses our attention on what the church really is.
As you say, here in Lourdes, it's very easy to sense this feeling of service, of commitment to others. How do you perhaps take that experience back? It's much harder when you go home to continue with that spirit of service and commitment, isn't it? How do you encourage perhaps people who come here on pilgrimage to bring their experience of Lourdes back to their own parish, their own daily life?
I think, again, I go back to the figures of Peter and of Mary. I think what we're trying to do is form communities gathered around the Lourdes. And those figures of Mary and Peter, the real people in our faith, focus us on what our faith is really about. It's not an abstract idea. We are disciples of the Lourdes as they are, disciples of the gospel, and we have to focus on that, that we are a people gathered together around the Lourdes, not an idea, not an ideology. We are a people focused on the gospel of Christ, and we have to form communities that are based around that, serving real people, real disciples of the Lourdes today.
Our thanks there go to Father Michael McAndrew, who will be celebrating Mass with Pope Benedict XVI both on Sunday and Monday. And finally, as we've been doing over the past few days, we go back to the story of Bernadette, in particular how she had to cope with problems connected to the apparitions of Our Lady. That's in episode 3 of the radio drama written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett, which tells the story of this 14-year-old peasant girl whose visions left Lourdes with an unchanging message of ministry to the sick and suffering.
Oh, that's got it. Look at that, Toinette. That'll make a great blaze.
Hey, there's some huge branches over here. Come and see.
Just a minute. What's happened to that sister of yours? She's a lazy so-and-so. Does she expect us to do all the dirty work and sit there looking at the view? Come on, let's go and get her.
Well, you know Bernadette can't wet her feet with that asthma. She shouldn't be out anyway, but she insisted and so Mother said she could come.
Oh, go on, tell me another. It's all imagination, asthma. She's just stopped that.
Look. Look down there. Bernadette seems to be...
What the... Well, of all the crazy creatures...
What's she doing on her knees?
Saying her prayers, silly. She's stuck staring that one.
Bernadette! Bernadette! She doesn't seem to hear me.
Oh, maybe she's dead. It's the asthma that's killed her off.
Don't be silly. Dead. Did you ever see a dead person on their knees?
Oh, come on, let's get back there. We've got enough wood anyway for today.
Go and look. Well, here goes. I'm going to cross the stream. Oh, it's not cold at all.
Oh, there you are. So you decided to cross after all.
Bernadette, why didn't you answer us when we called you?
Ah, there. Look at that for a bundle of firewood. Oh, it's good to be on dry ground.
Yes, that was cold.
Oh, I can't wait to get home and start a
great fire. It would help to move around a bit.
Yes, oh,
stop.
Blood going. Come on.
Oh, that's better. That's
stop falling a minute. Listen. Did you two see anything?
See anything? Why, what did you see?
What's the matter with you today, Bernadette? What were you doing down there by the river? You must be out of your mind to say your prayers here in Masabiel where the pigs feed. Kneeling on the damp ground after all, Mother said. I don't know what's come over
you. But tell me, seriously, didn't either of you see anything?
Of course not.
Oh, nothing. Why? Was there someone here?
No, go on with you. Forget it. She didn't see anyone either. She didn't want to gather any firewood, that's all.
You know, you two are a sly pair. The water wasn't cold at all.
Well, you were lucky.
Oh, well, I'm off. I've had enough of this place. It's freezing. So long, you two.
Well, we'd better get moving too.
Hey, Bernadette, what are you looking for?
Oh, nothing. I'm just collecting a few sticks. You two have really been busy. Straw. Where she was.
Oh. Here, give me a hand with this bundle.
Hey, listen. Tell me, you didn't really see anything, did you? Let's start moving, shall we? You ready?
Did you?
Well, what? Well. Oh, come on. I'm going.
Oh, go on. Just tell me. I won't tell anyone else, I promise. Not even Mama.
Promise?
Word of honor.
I saw a lady dressed all in white with a blue sash and a yellow rose on each foot.
She doesn't believe Bernadette saw anything. Says she dreamt it.
You mean to ask her dad? He's working down at the stables.
And he gave permission?
Oh, he didn't. But his boss did. That lady with a rosary, he says. Why not? There's no harm in that. And so Subiru's had to give in.
We'd better go and get the holy water now. High Mass is finished.
Yes. You got a bottle?
Bernadette said she'd bring one. She should be here now.
What do you want holy water for?
To keep away the evil spirits. You never know. The lady could come from the devil.
Oh, that's true. I wonder if we should all take bottles.
Don't be silly. It's Bernadette's got to throw the water. Oh, there she is. She's coming out of the church. She must have been to get the water already.
Yes, she's waving the bottle at us. Come on, let's go. The others are there too. Hey!
Wait for me, you two!
Just a minute. My clock's got stuck in the cobbles.
I'll wait with you. You know, I think it might be the devil. Bernadette said that when she saw the lady had a rosary, she tried to make the sign of the cross, but something stopped her from lifting her hand.
Ain't there. That's got it. Come on. We must move.
Yes, but listen. When the lady made the sign of the cross, Bernadette said something made her lift her hand, too.
Oh, that Bernadette certainly gives you a run for your money. I can't even see her now. Oh, well, where have those other two got to?
Oh, there you are! You might have waited.
Where's Bernadette? Oh, there she is. Look down there. She's kneeling down. She's got her rosary out.
There. Oh, yes, on the bank. Strange. She doesn't look a bit tired. After all
look,
that
running... I'm going on down. Come on, you lot. Come along with me.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father.
There. There's the light. There she is. She's got the rosary in her right hand. She's looking at you.
The bottle! Throw the water!
Go on!
If you come from God, stay. If not...
Devil!
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 I told you!
Run! Run! Look at there!
Devil! Devil!
Look up there!
Who's that running off up that path? It's Jo. What's she doing up there?
So we didn't wait for her. She got her own bag.
You mean she pushed that?
Bernadette. Look at Bernadette. She's not moving.
She's still looking up into the grotto.
Oh, come on. Let's get her away from here.
She won't budge.
She's heavy as lead.
Oh, look at her face. She's as white as a ghost.
She's still looking up into the grotto. We'd better get one of the men to lift her. The miller's son. He's a strong
That's an idea. Come on, beat you to the mill.
Did you see her face?
Oh, God.
It was incredible.
There. She's coming round.
Look, her face. She looks so happy.
Tell us, Bernadette, what did you see?
Leave her alone. She doesn't know where she is yet.
What's all this nonsense, Bernadette? What do you mean, you bad-mannered girl, making everyone run after you?
I never told anyone to follow me.
Well, I'm telling you to follow me right now. Up you get, my girl. We're going home this minute. I don't know what you think you're at, Bernadette. You said you'd be a quarter of an hour. What about Vespers? You'd have missed it if I hadn't come to get you. This grotto's gone to your head. You'd do best to forget it. It's all nonsense anyway. We've become a laughing stock. The whole town's talking about you. Do you know that? It's got to stop. Do you want them to put your father in jail again?
Of course not, Mother. But I...
Well, you just put the whole thing out of your mind. You imagined it.
But, Mother, I saw...
That's enough, Bernadette!
But I know I saw the lady. And I'm sure she's coming back.
Bernadette!
You were listening there to episode 3 of the 6-part story of Bernadette. If you happen to miss the preceding episodes, don't forget you can check out our website at www.vaticanradio.org. And now while my thanks go to Jill Bevilacqua for writing this radio drama for us and to Sean Patrick Lovett for producing it, this broadcast comes to an end. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Laudator Jesus Christus.